All right. My name is Masatoshi Mochizuki. I am 32 years old. Today is January 6th, 2019, and I'm speaking with Labria Cherry, who is my former coworker, friend, in some ways mentor. and we're recording this interview in St. Petersburg, Florida. Okay. All right, so we're gonna start with kind of broader and kind of going back. So Labria, can you tell me a little bit about your childhood? What were you like as a child?
Yeah, absolutely. So I grew up in Rochester, New York, which is pretty far from New York City. Whenever I say I'm from New York, people are thinking, you know, the Bronx or Harlem or Manhattan, but Rochester's pretty far up and it's very, very cold. And so all throughout my childhood, I would always enjoy playing in the snow, but as I got older, I hated the cold weather. And so it was my mission to leave New York one day. I have one older brother and I grew up with both of my parents. And so I grew up in a suburb of Rochester, which was called Henrietta, and it was great. I had good experiences, but I also had experiences, I think, because of choices my parents made into better my education, better my future, all of that, that made things a little bit challenging. So one of those things is me going to private schools. And so their goal was, I want to expose you to things and get, you know, a more better education, whatever that was in their mind. But because of that, a lot of my classmates did not look like me. And as being an African-American woman, it was a lot of times, which I didn't know how to put words to it then, but a lot of times having to, from my school friends, to my at-home friends, to my cousins that I would hang out with, to going to somebody's house after school, it was two worlds that I lived in. And so I think there was so much that I wrestled with as a kid, but I didn't have words and understanding of these different dynamics that I was in. So there was a lot of ways that I went through issues with just my own just acceptance and affirmation and dealing with issues of self-hatred simply because I was a black woman and just feeling like, well, I don't use those kind of hair products and my hair doesn't stay with those kind of clips, to no, I don't really want to go swimming at your birthday party, or I need lotion right as soon as I get out of this, you know, pool. Like, it was just everything. And even though my parents were very affirming and we went to a Baptist church, a black Baptist church, and we hung out with them, we had good, you know, relational dynamics that were there in every other area of my life. But with my peers and in school academic environment, it was honestly a different world. And so being able to navigate that was sometimes really tricky.
What was one of the trickiest or like hardest experiences that you remember during that time?
I think there was many situations that were really rough. I know, so my parents originally are both from Florida. My dad grew up here in Polk County. My mom, even though she was born in Florida, but she grew up in New York. And so my dad is, you know, he has passed on now, but he was an alumni of Florida A&M University, which is, you know, a historic black university. And my parents have a very rich and proud history within our own family, but just are very glad and accepting to be African-American people. And so there was a dynamic of that coming from that, of you are beautiful, you are amazing, I love your chocolate skin, this and this and that. But then being at school and having peers at times feel like there was a divide that was there. As much, I don't know, close that you could get or as much of a connection you would have, it still felt a little bit, this is different, this is a little bit off. And so I remember one day, I was in elementary school, I'm not sure what grade, but there was a girl who I always just, we just did not get along. I just could not jive with her. And so she was, you know, I don't know, upset or whatever, and was trying to, you know, make me mad. And so she's like, ah, I would never be your friend. You are the color of poop. Who would ever want to be around you and be your friend? And I was just so taken aback. Like, I didn't even have a good comeback to be like, yeah, well, ah. So I was just like, what? Who would ever say that to somebody? And what does that mean that you think of me? So just internalizing all of that. And so, of course, I was in the moment just like, whatever, da 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 da. But when I got home, I was just like, oh my God, Dad, this is what happened. Da 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 da. And so he, you know, talked me through it and shared with me. And was just like, no, this is who you are. Don't, you know, allow someone to define you or make you feel less than or any of those things. But things like that allowed me to feel like there was always kind of this duality of needing to be sure of who I am, but knowing that the people that maybe I'm around a lot are not at that place where they necessarily agree or see with that, with who I am. It's more of always needing to be in a place of showing and a level of openness of, oh, but this is who I am and this is what I like, and oh, I like that too, and oh, I've had that experience too. And that was kind of when I was younger. So it was more like, I want to show you that I can be a part and I can fit in and I'm just like you. But as I got older and went to high school and went to college, and then college opened up a lot of more experiences to having peers who really looked just like me and were really happy and proud of it too. So it was just like, oh my God, this is great. This is amazing. And so that led even more into a place of like, oh, I no longer have to be concerned with somebody else's thoughts of who I am. Like, that is clearly their issue. And so representing myself, showing who I am, that's what I choose to do. But I'm not doing it with the idea of I need to edit myself or make myself more palatable for you. And so it allowed a different level of freedom, and that has just continued to grow as, you know, I've aged and gotten older and been in different environments. And so I'm grateful, even as hard as it was when I was young, but I'm grateful for those experiences and being able to have parents that I could just be open with and talk to about that. And so even though they were very aware of the challenges that we had, but at the same time, they would make sure that they allowed us to be in Black spaces where we could just be and not have to worry about being other or different, which I'm thankful for too. So they tried to balance it. If it was us going to Boys and Girls Club, if it was because we went to a Black church, if it was making sure we had time with our cousins, whatever that looked like. And so it's allowed me to be able to navigate just, you know, life now of being in different settings, being even traveling internationally, being in other countries and not being thrown off by the looks or the, what, you're different, what is that, I don't, but just like, no, I'm here, and I'm gonna be here. If you have an issue, maybe you need to leave, but this is where I am. So, yeah.
How, so this has kind of affected you in the sense that, like, now you've grown into being able to, one, be in spaces where you're like, okay, like, this is who I am.
Yes.
And have that during a lot of those formative years as well. Yeah. Even though earlier on it was
kind of rough.
A little bit rough.
Yes.
A little bit rough.
Exactly.
And do you, because you're saying like now you have those experiences where people are looking like kind of like, oh, like you don't belong or, you know, whatever, have like that judgment. And so now it doesn't like, I'm trying to understand, like, does it not affect you, or is it just a different way that you feel, like, what is that dynamic like now when you are in those those same spaces that you were as like an elementary school kid, where you're like, okay, like, I'm in this sort of this entire space where nobody looks like me,
right?
Like, how is that like navigating that now, where it's like, yes, you have this different life experience that has a different perspective for you, and you're not, you know, like an 8-year-old, or and maybe they're not saying like, you look like poop, or like something where you're like, what?
Yes.
But like, how, what is that like experiencing and navigating those spaces now?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I don't think it ever gets old, not for me. And so it's never a place where I feel like if somebody has mistreated me or wanting to see more identification. Oh, we just need to verify, da da da, da, and asking those additional. Wait, you graduated from where? Like, wait, what? There's like things about my life that's like, well, this doesn't add up with who I think that you are. Mm. And so that doesn't get old in the sense of that it is hurtful and it is in ways demeaning to just me as a person. Like, why would you expect something different or something less? But I think I have a better way of coping, but then the shock value is gone. Mm. And so it's sadly, mm. at this place, it's expected. Mm. So to meet somebody that I'm interacting with who is, you know, looking at me as their equal, who is not of my race, and like from a very, even if it's, you know, from a peer standpoint or from like a, you know, employment, corporate place, and they're really trying to hear my ideas, my input, that would be the shock now of, wait, you're inviting me to the tip, you're wanting this. And so I think that is how it makes it easier to be able to deal with, honestly. And I'm very intentional about being able to affirm myself and just like who I know that God has made me to be and not what anyone else is trying to define me as or describe me as. And I have a great community of friends and family who do that often, all the time. And so, I'm very intentional also about being in spaces where I can just be with people who look like me, where there is no needed explanation or clarity that's needed of, well, wait, what does that mean? Or how do you mean that? Or, you know, you don't have to code switch and, oh, well, I need to say it like this, or I need to use this tone so that you can feel. It's just like, it's loose, it's there, it's raw, and it's good. And so I think that there's a better way for me to do that, especially since now that I've had so much more time, you know, just to process and understand. It's when you know what you're against, when you know what kind of like the thing that you're fighting against looks like, feels like, tastes like, it's not that you like it, but you feel much more confident in being able to defend yourself against it, so to speak. And so, especially, you know, we turn on the news, we read an article, every single day there is some incident, some event that has happened where people who look like me are being just brutalized or being accosted for things of just living life, of sitting in a coffee shop, of getting on a plane, of driving down the street, and, oh, you did this wrong, oh, you stepped over this line, oh, I can't believe you did that, oh, you're a little too loud here. And it's not always just a reprimand. Sometimes it ends in that person's dying, like their death. And so it's nothing that I'm like shying away from or can ever escape, but it's more of, no, I've been in this battle for a while. Mm-hmm. So my muscles are, they're strong, they're activated in it, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You were talking about like people, community, friends, mm-hmm. who, like, you affirm yourself, but then they are also affirming you and they're absolutely supporting you. Yeah. Who are a couple of, you know, one or two of the people in your life that mm-hmm. you feel like have had the biggest influence on you? Like, what are a couple of people who've helped, maybe not mold, but influence, shape who you are to some degree?
I think one of those people, as I was sharing earlier, my father was huge. So he passed away in 2011. But he was absolutely one of the closest people to me. And even though he's not physically, you know, on this earth, his presence and his wisdom and his insight is still what guides me today. And so I can't, you know, negate that he's still a force in that, of shaping me and molding me now. And I think because of the demeanor that he had, because of the way that he would affirm me, because of the way that he dreamed for me and saw for me, you have this that you're gonna accomplish, you have this that you're gonna see, you are made of this. It allowed me to feel like, honestly, I could do anything. Mm-hmm. Like, there was never a place of, I don't know, can I, is that too much? He was always like, why not? Absolutely. Equip yourself, train yourself. Who do you need to talk to? What books do you need to read? Yeah, you can do that. Why not? And so it allowed me to feel this freedom of just being able to dream and wonder without limitations. And mm-hmm. I think that's so necessary for anybody, especially someone from a minority population who has such a huge history of, you know, systemic oppression. And so that has been huge in my life. Also my faith, like just being able to rely and know that Jesus is with me, like the Holy Spirit guides me through my life, my interactions, is huge for me. And that is a source that I use, connect with, I don't know, love on every single day. And so there's nothing that I think that if those two people were not present in my life, I think I would be a completely different person today. Now, that is wonderful and it's beautiful and amazing, but those are the two most, I think, important. But then, of course, there's so many other people. My brother is a huge relationship. My mom has been in my life a support. I have many very close friends that I, you know, grew up with who are still friends with me today, and even ones that I've met, you know, now in my life in the last few years that I can't imagine doing life without. Like, they've become so integral to just my interactions, my day-to-day, my work stresses, my, you know, exciting news, just everything of, no, we are connected. We are, like, together. And so one of the, you know, communities that I'm a part of, like, there's a group of people who I've recently kind of connected with them over the last probably 4 or 5 years. And they are just amazing. We all kind of known each other from, like, we were going to the same church, but now we don't. But there's still just such a, I don't even know. We call ourselves Ubuntu, which is like, you know, the belief in that, you know, we're connected. I am because you are. Like, having that place of, if you are in need, then what can we do to solve this? Like, I'm not this individual, but we're standing together, we're helping with one another. And that's so huge, and that's so important, and that's it's been so just vital to my growth, my life, my development to this day. And it's been great. I have a really great relationship with my brother and my sister-in-law as well, and so some people have big families and, you know, are single children, but I just have the one brother. And so for him and I love that I have somebody that I can just look at and I know what they're thinking. And you can just say one word and I'll take you back to a memory from 15 years ago. And you're just like, oh my God, that one time. And so that's, I need that. I need that in my life. I need laughter. I need joy. I need to be able to connect with people in a way that, just being in the room with them, just like the ministry of presence. We don't even have to say anything, but you're just here. And it's just like, we've been through some stuff, some valleys, some peaks. I just being with you, it makes me feel stronger. It makes me feel confident. It makes me feel secure. Even if nothing is said, and he is one of those people in my life. And so I'm a strong advocate for having, you know, people who know you and know you well and support you in your life.
So I kind of want to take that and ask a little bit about, like, the work that you do now, because I also really like that term, ministry of presence.
Yes.
I love that.
It's one of my friends, Stefania, she always says that. I'm like, it's true. Yes.
So what do you do in your life where you minister through your presence?
Yeah.
I would like to know how you minister through your presence.
Yes. So I am a social worker. That is my trade. And so I love that. A lot of times people think of social workers in a very narrow light. And so they will say, oh, social workers are in schools, or oh, social workers work for child welfare system. But social workers, I feel like, are like superheroes in disguise. And so one of the things that I love to do is I love listening to people. And so a lot of times my ministry of presence comes with asking questions so that I can hear people's stories and what's in their heart. What makes them tick, what excites them, what burdens them, what allows them to feel stress-free. There's so many things that we deal with, and just honestly waking up. Are you waking up with a headache? Are you in pain? Are you cold? Are you hungry? Just waking up, there's like 10 things that we're like sorting through. And so for me to have an encounter with somebody on any day, I wanna know a little bit about what you've been dealing with these last few hours. How are you? And so that is a lot of times what I do. Now, that can be with peers and friends and hanging out over dinner. That can be at work where I'm going through a case file and saying, what are the challenges? What are the goals? How can we help accommodate you? That can be praying with somebody who is in the hospital and they're just like, I'm in a lot of pain. Hey, let's hear about it. What can we do? And so for me, I think it is through being able to just listen where somebody is at. Mm-hmm. What are you dealing with? And it's not that I'm listening to provide an answer, because, you know, well, what have I got? You know what I mean? I'm not a millionaire or multimillionaire. I'm just, hey, I'm here and I care about you. And so that's the thing that I have to offer. Just the genuine, I would like to know. I'm interested. I care about what you are dealing with in your mind. And if there is anything that I can do to help, if there are resources or people I can connect you to, or, oh, I do know about this job opening, or, oh my gosh, I love that. Do you want me to make you some of that? Okay, I can bring that over. Then great. By all means, I'm there. I'm ready.
Can you think of a time, because I think one of the things that fuels us is the evidence of the power of what we do, right? Mm-hmm. And to see the impact of that.
Mm-hmm.
Can you think of a particular time that like stands out for you, or that you kind of like, it's like, oh, like when things are rough, or when sometimes it's like, oh, like, you know, maybe there's like the little negative voice that says like, ugh, you know, like nothing matters.
Sure.
Whatever happens, that there is like a memory that you hold on to that says like, oh, this was a time when I was present and I listened. Mm-hmm. And that this had an impact. Is there a time that comes to mind where you're like, it fills you up with joy knowing that you had an impact?
Yeah. So you're saying an encounter with somebody specifically that I can refer to that helps to kind of guide
me.
Yeah, that's a good question. I feel like there have been a few for different situations, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So one, I was doing my internship for grad school and I was working, at this children's home. And I was kind of, I don't know, I feel like fairly new, so maybe like 3 or 4 months in. And I was getting to know this group of siblings. And with one of them, she was kind of like, oh, okay, you're going to be my therapist, whatever. And one was just like, oh my gosh, she was younger and she was spicy and she was just like, I'm not having it. I don't want to come see you today. Please leave. Like, there was nothing. I would try like, I don't know. Oh, let's color. I brought you candy. Let's play this game. She was just like, I'm not feeling you. So there were times, a few times, where it got easier and easier, and I was able to bring her to a couple of sessions, and we would go to these, like, you know, play areas that they would have, and you'd have all these different kind of things you could use to engage with the kids and all this stuff. And so it was going okay, and I just kind of felt like it was blah. Like, I'm like, I have not had any connection with this girl. She feels so standoffish to me, and I was just like, what am I doing wrong? Like, I really do care. I really want to be able to be a voice that can help to edify her, but then also that she can just vent and be real and not have to, I don't know, put on any false airs about who she is or how she's thinking or being a good little girl, what that looks like. And so I just felt so like deflated and just like, I haven't done anything. And we're a couple months in. So it's just like, it's not, you know, you can expect that, you know, the first few sessions, but we've been at this for a while. I was just feeling really rough about it. And then one day she had made me this like really big card. Like, usually you think of a card as a little piece of paper. This was like a huge card. I don't even know how she got this paper, but it was huge. And she had drawn herself, her sister in it, her other family members were in the background. And she was just like, thank you so much for helping me get along with my family. Thank you for letting me hang out with you and play with. And I was just like, I didn't know what to do. I was just like, in the moment, I was just like, thank you so much, that's so kind of you. But when I got in my car and was like going home, I just had to take a minute and reflect and be like, I don't even know what has happened or what I've done. Usually when you have a connection, like, you can feel it, like, mm-hmm. it's tangible, like, ooh, that was something, that was a moment. But with her, I felt so like flat, so blank, and I was just like, I don't know when she had those connections or just the consistency of me coming every week to say, hey, I'm still here. I've thought about you throughout the week. How are you? I don't even know. But I was just sitting with that card and I started crying because I was just like, what? I've actually had some type of positive impact, some type of way that she has seen me and seen how I care for her. And I was just like, wow, I don't even know what to do with that. And so I have thought about that card a few times throughout the years of ways that I, you know, in different job roles that I've had, if it is doing therapy or, you know, doing case management or whatever, like, no, but I can't always tell, I can't always judge when there's been an impact made, when there's been some type of way that somebody has received something or just felt the presence of me being there, of wanting to listen to their heart or where they're at or what they're dealing with. And so it allows me to say, I can never really judge of how good of a job I'm doing, but just being able to say, I'm just gonna keep going, honestly. Because I think sometimes we feed off of our progress. I'm doing great, yes, keep going. Or even people just working with, you know, nonprofits in general, people give based upon the impact you're making. Oh, you've done this? You've got this many graduates? Oh, you've had this many people come? Great, you guys are doing great, let me give you some more. But when those numbers look a little stagnant and nobody can say, this is definitively how this is happening, this is a process that has gone, we can, you know, codify it and send it in a pamphlet and make manuals and sell them to other people. People don't know what to do with that. Mm-hmm. But there was nothing that this girl, that she would have done that exemplified, oh, she's meeting these goals, or she's expressing herself better, or she's getting into less fights. None of that was present. It was just her being able to take this moment and tell me in this huge card of, I value you. And I just didn't know what to do with that. And so even, you know, now just, you know, in my profession, in my relationship, all of that, it's just, I really try to not be fazed on the things that you see and the things that you don't, because you're not always going to be able to hear a thank you or a, that helped me or I appreciate you. But just being able to know that whatever I'm giving of myself just out of love. I'm not expecting anything in return. So if you never say thanks or you're never like, you know what, I value your voice in my life, but I'm still giving it with an intention of, but I'm here to serve you, I'm here to love on you, I'm here to listen to you, then that's all that I can, you know, can ask. And so I guess it's helped to make me not feel like there has to be an endpoint that looks cute and with a bow on it and, oh, you've done this and I've done, but just being able to say, okay, I've given what I can and I've given it with my whole heart and I hope that there's something there and to kind of go on with it. And so that is one reminder when things are like, oh my gosh, there's no progress being made that I can see, or there's no, you know, standards that check off this box. It's just, you know what, at the end of the day, I don't really know. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times I think things that we do, interactions that we have are kind of in seed form. And so sometimes it takes different amounts of time to grow, just like vegetation. Some things, you know, in a couple of weeks, you've got some little green like sprouts, and others, you're there for some years. You're just like, wow. But both are beautiful, both have value, and you just, you know what I mean? You can't expect one from the other. And so, yeah, I just keep going.
I have to pause and just say that's, I love that because it makes some, for me personally reflecting, it makes me think of definitely like how, like results, like objective, quantified results and things like that are a lot of times how we measure ourselves.
Yeah.
And then it also makes me think of, it actually makes me think of one of my professors from college who, he was very pessimistic.
Okay.
It was, but it's not because it's pessimistic. I'm like, it's despite that, it's where he would say, he was very much convinced that like nothing we do mattered.
Ooh,
and I was like, ooh. Rough. Yeah. I was like, oh gosh, this is depressing. But then like we also came to find out that he was like super like activist, like involved in all kinds of different social justice movements and things like that. And I'm like, and so we like asked him, it's like, so hold on a second, like why do you do all this if you think none of it has a point? And he's like, you just do it.
Huh. Wow.
Like that's because it's like it doesn't matter if you don't see any results. It's like, it's the right thing to you. It's the right thing to do.
Yep. That's so
and it's
true.
Like, and it's like this,
ooh, that's so
like,
true.
to me, even hearing mm-hmm. sort of like there's a certain amount of faith of like mm-hmm. whether it's faith in knowing that you are having an impact or mm-hmm. faith in just the idea that no, this is like it doesn't even matter mm-hmm. what the impact is. Mm-hmm. Like, I am going to be present. Yeah. I am going to still give my all. Like, that's yeah. that's very powerful.
It's true. Especially, I think, with just people in general, stuff takes time. Mm-hmm. And I think we're so used to, like, wanting results right now. And when we want to control the whole process. Mm. But I know I think about things that my parents told me when I was a kid. I didn't make sense out of that until 10, 15 years later. And not because I wasn't listening or didn't care. It was just like, I don't have a place to put that. I don't have a box to put that in. Sounds great, y'all, but I don't know what you're talking about. So when I'm in a situation and things come back to my mind, it's just like, oof, yes, this is where this goes. This is how this is going to apply in this situation. This is what makes this relevant. And so it's true. We're doing it because it's right. It's needed. It's good. No matter, you know, what happens, it's still important. That's so good.
I asked about people in your life that mm-hmm. helped shape you and influence you. Are there any particular experiences or memories that come to mind that were kind of like key pivotal moments for you, apart from what you've already shared? Like, because obviously that early yes. experience is huge. But like, what are there any like particular moments that are kind of like, oh, like this seems almost random, or it's kind of like it's not. I don't know. Like, whatever comes to mind of a memory or moment that helps shape you to be the person that you are today?
There have been a lot. I'm trying to think which. Okay, so. There's been a lot of times where people have seen me when I didn't know that they saw me. Mm. If that makes sense. And so, me just kind of going along doing my life and then getting a message from my brother, like a voicemail he'll send, and just really affirming me. And I'm thinking, why now are you telling me this? What did we just do? Or did we have some type of interaction that's spurring this on? And so there will be random times where he's done it about 3 or 4 times, you know, throughout my life, where he will just really just go in. I am so proud of you. I love that you are my sister. I'm amazed at the woman you've become. And it's just like, what? You know, and I'm trying to place it like, did I do something? What is this? But it will just like be so like moving where I'm just like, wow. So it's almost like just going along, doing life, being who you are, and then having someone take a moment, 2 minutes to reflect on, this is what I see in you. And this is what I'm excited about in you. And I'm glad that I get to be a witness of who you are. You just going through life, living your experience, mm-hmm. and I'm a bystander of that. I love seeing that. And it's just so touching to me because I think we're all just really trying to make it, do one day at a time. And so for someone, even though he's close to me, even though we have a great relationship, but still, there can be so many times where you just almost like take things for granted with somebody. Yeah, I know you love me, and yeah, I know you're a good person. Yeah, I like hanging out with you. But to really take a moment to say, but this is what I see and what I'm excited about. So things like that are huge for me, and I always save them. Mm-hmm. When people give me cards of things that, conversations that we've had, or ways that we've been through, you know, divorces, or desiring children, or gosh, dealing with issues of, you know, being a single woman, you know, in your late 30s, all of that, like those interactions, those conversations are things that are so impactful that stay with me, because it allows me to know that someone else sees me, but then with whatever they're sharing, that I'm not alone in that. So with those things that keep me moving, that keep me motivated, that allow me to stay grounded, there's been so many. I don't know that I could just pick one that has been mm-hmm. like a whoa. There's been prayer sessions with people that have just totally changed my perspective of who I am, and ways that I've been just, you know, feeling low or down or been depressed, and have been so uplifting. There's been so many things like that. I think it just happens and kind of weaves itself in and out of my life at different times, and it allows me to keep going, but still be, I don't know, it's intangible, you know what I mean? I can't put words to the impact that it has and the way that it allows me to feel strengthened, but actually even more loved in the process, even through the roughness of some things with people who love you. Hard conversations of, when you say this, it makes me feel like this, or I can't believe that you were not there when I needed you at this time in my life. Those things, like willing to not shy away from that and to see how someone else says, but I'm fighting for this. I'm fighting for this connection. I'm fighting for this friendship with you. Those are the things that, you know, allow me to feel appreciated, seen, loved.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been many, and I'm thankful for that.
Since there have been so many.
Yeah.
Thinking ahead to all the other many times and many moments.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it is saying goodbye to the mortal realm, mm-hmm. or whether it's literally just like, oh, like we have those, you know, that interaction, that meaningful interaction, mm-hmm. and parting ways where it's like, it's just, you know, you exist, but like we aren't going to interact again after that. How is it that you would want to be remembered?
Ooh, wow.
By others? Like if that's, and it might be different for different people,
right.
But oof. What's the impression that you want to leave behind?
Yeah, I think I would want to be remembered in a way where people knew that I was believing in them, rooting for them, and rejoicing with them. And so even through our stupid mistakes and things that we do that we can't make sense out of or procrastinate or just weird things that we do in life, there still needs to be somebody who can give us a sense of, but I still see you, and that can be dealt with. It's not the end of the world. I'm not gonna like banish you or, oh my gosh, I can't believe you would say that. I never want to see you again. I think I've heard some very amazing stories of people who have been through many trials and hardships, from, you know, stories that I've listened to during apartheid in South Africa to other issues with genocide in Rwanda, other like people's lives, people who I've never like physically met, but just hearing their stories, reading books about it, and seeing how people are able to come to a place of recognizing whatever they have done, being able to seek ways to, you know, reconcile and forgive and move forward, that it makes me be like, whatever I do, whatever someone does to me, or even people that I love most, whatever they would do in their life, that they're in a situation to say, but LaBria still is rooting for me, knowing that even in this, I can still move forward and make it better, make it right, succeed, whatever that looks like. That I feel like so many times we are in a culture which is all about individualism, independence, and success, where we can easily get into a trap of, I need to be more independent, I need to do it on my own, I need to learn, I need to be the best, and success looks like tangible things. And I'm so against that framework. And so from the depths of things that we can do that are wrong, if we're in a place where we can admit it and grieve over it and repent for it, then I believe that there can be like reconciliation. So that's to the one side, the extreme of the horribleness, atrociousness, atrocities that we can, you know, deal with. But then just to the other side of just someone living life and just being themselves and going through ups and downs, or being excited about, you know, getting a new job or buying a new car or what have you, or, you know, getting married, that I'm a person who will be rooting for them and excited to rejoice in whatever they are doing next. So if it is grave mistakes that are made and things that they have done, egregious things to other people, but I'm still a person who is saying, oof, even in that, there is a place for being able to rebuild and restore if that person's coming from a place of, you know, true like repentance and wanting to make it right. But then even if it's kind of simple things and very, you know, just things of everyday life, that even a mundane cup of coffee, but it's still just like, you know what? That was a damn good cup of coffee, girl. I love that you made it that way. That I'm going to rejoice with you over that too. And I'm like, good. I love it. You can, you know, whatever. If it's starting your own coffee business, if it's just having friends over and they enjoy your coffee, whatever. Like, that is so good. I love that you're doing that. And so that is how I would want to be remembered, where people would say, oh, she's rooting for me still. She wants the best for me still. And so I've gotten that from other people, and it has been something that's helped me so much.
And I see a connection here, almost full circle, with what you were saying, that you feel like when you said she's rooting for me still, like, I feel like you said the exact same thing about how your dad is still rooting for you still.
Oh yes, it's so true. Yes.
And so you're modeling yourself off of that, of like, I want to be remembered that way, where like, even when I'm not there, you know that I'm rooting for you.
Yes.
It's amazing.
Yes. Thank you for making that connection. I wasn't thinking of it that way, but it's true.
It's a powerful influence there.
Yes, definitely.
One more, since we're wrapping up. So I said that I wanted to ask you about your organization that you're working with.
It's so cool.
Tell me a little bit about it.
So I actually have two organizations that I'm really closely affiliated with now. So one of them is Mama Africana, which is a Christian mentoring group for Black girls in the Tampa Bay area. And so what we do is we help to just empower the girls and allow them to grow in their faith with Jesus, but be empowered also in their ethnic identity, knowing that their Blackness, if it is that they're African-American, if it's Haitian-American, if they're from one of the other islands, if they're even from African come, we've had girls, if they're biracial, whatever it is, to being able to allow them to feel seen, known, you know, rejoiced over in just who they are, and being able to care for them for their whole person. And so we have weekly gatherings with the girls, and if it's, we're taking them to the movies. I know we all went to see Black Panther. We had a couple roles that we, you know, packed out the place. It was great. And if it's, you know, doing a Bible study with them, if it's celebrating one girl's birthday and like going to her cheerleading, get whatever it is, we want to be able to see who all of you are. We are excited that you are here, and we want to help you to make choices going forward that are good and healthy. And the other organization that I'm fairly new to is called Year Up, and it's one that is new to this area but has been around in other cities actually for a while. And so it helps 18 to 24 year olds. It's called basically a way to help lessen the opportunity divide. So young adults who have finished high school but they maybe are just underemployed, and it's a way to help them get some college credit and internship experience to be able to make kind of a different life for themselves. So both of them I really enjoy. I'm excited to be a part of. I believe in the work that they're doing, and I think other people should know about
them. How did you get involved with both of those?
Mama Africana is affiliated with an organization called Tampa Underground. And so basically it's a group of nonprofits that are faith-based in the area that are dedicated to mission in the community. And so there are ones that deal with, you know, people dealing with addictions, women coming out of the sex industry, dealing with issues of homelessness. There's such a variety. And so I became a part of Tampa Underground, and it allowed me to know about Mama Africana. But then with Year Up, it's actually on my employment now. And so that was just kind of, you know, changing jobs and hearing about it. And so they both are really great organizations. I'm proud to be a part of them. I love the work that they're doing in our community.
How do you, what is one way that, if you were to say how your personal mission, if you had a personal mission statement, how does your personal mission align with Mama Africana?
Oh, I like that. Oh. I feel that Mama Africana allows someone to have everything that I had hoped to have. So being a Black girl, and no matter what neighborhood you're in, if you're in, you know, Ybor, if you're in University area, if you live in Riverview, whatever, that there's a group of women who look like you, who some are moms, some are students, some are, you know, teachers, engineers, social workers, that whatever walk of life, you can identify somebody who's saying, oh yeah, I've been down that road and I can help you get there. And not just, some mentoring organizations come from just a faith-based